Hey everybody, good evening and welcome to another episode of Citizen Kane. It is the 15th of January 2017 and we are streaming live on good old YouTube right now. Follow us every Sunday night between 7 and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can always find the links to that live stream video on our webpage, citizenkane.org, as well as the Facebook page. If you are watching live and you would like to call us, number to call is 267-521-2771. Of course, you can always Skype us. Handle is Citizen Kane. And you can always get a hold of me directly any time of the week via email. That address is show@citizenkane.org. My name is Conan Soliday, and I am joined by the lovely Shauna of the Nash. Shauna, it's a lot warmer this evening.
It is.
Even though it's not any warmer outside, I'm wondering if we're getting used to the cold, if we're climatizing, because it's mid-January, and I guess we're going to have another month of the nonsense cold, the real cold.
I think we have another 2 months of that.
But you know, all the snow is pretty much gone. That's amazing.
Right, that means now it's going to come back. Don't believe it.
Don't believe it. Don't trust it.
Don't believe it. Don't trust it. Take it for what it is.
Take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah. Take it with a big bucket of salt all over the driveway.
Big bucket of salt all over the steps. Well, I guess it is what it is. But the things that got buried that I should not have left out in the yard, it's kind of nice that I can get back to them.
Like all the leaves and...
No, not the leaves, like tools and stuff, like stuff that shouldn't have been left out there.
Yeah, you shouldn't have left those out.
Yeah. So we've got a lot to talk about this evening, a lot of little stories. Feel free to call in and join. Tell us about what you know, what you think. Or you can just listen to us talk. We got plenty to talk about. I think we're going to start with, yes, let's start with this. One of the first episodes we talked about, one of the first episodes that aired, we talked about a thin blue line being painted down Marlboro Street. Initially, it was all the way from the roundabout and all the way to the end, which is a pretty expansive piece of roadway there. And they talked it back and forth. I went to that meeting, said how silly I thought it was, giving a participation trophy to the entire police department when, you know.
And you got to use your veteran card.
Yeah, I got to play my veteran card. I don't have a problem with supporting heroes, but every profession has heroes, and this only supports a few people and an entire department, and I don't think that's the way to do business. But anyways, what do I know? They decided they were going to do it anyways. They did shrink it down to just the roadway in front of the police department.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going to do that with city funds, even though they talked about, paying for it themselves. But no, it's going to be done with city funds by city workers. And they're going to do it in the springtime.
Right, because that would be easier. They're going to already be painting in the springtime, so...
Yes.
It's just one more little task.
Correct. And it probably wouldn't be that big a deal. It probably wouldn't be that expensive, and it probably wouldn't be all that time consuming. But still, the message that it sends is, in my opinion, the wrong message. But what do I know? Like I said, turns out, feds say no. It's not actually a law, but their regulations say that no, roadways... Yellow lines in the middle of the road.
Where is the regulation? Where is the link in here?
That's a good question, Sean. Oh. I had the video and I had another page with the regs.
Okay, here it is.
Let me just play this video because these guys do a pretty good job explaining. This is Channel 4 New York. And let me switch this over there. There we go.
Line painted to show support for the police is actually against the law, according to the Federal Highway Administration. Drivers we spoke with don't see the problem.
If they're showing support for police, that it should be no big deal.
According to this December letter from Federal Highway official Mark Curley, blue paint is only to be used for specific reasons, like handicapped parking spots. He writes that there are other ways to honor law enforcement officers, quote, that do not involve the modification of a traffic control device, which can put the road user at risk due to misinterpretation of its meaning.
Especially in the middle of the street or right in front of the police station, I wouldn't I wouldn't think for a second that it was a handicapped spot.
Mahwah's mayor says he will defy the federal standard and keep the blue line on Franklin Turnpike outside police headquarters.
Good for you, Mayor. Thank you, Mayor, for standing up for our police officers.
Reading dozens of positive comments on his Facebook page, the mayor is sure his constituents are behind him.
Mayors don't usually do illegal things, but for right now, if you want to call this line illegal, that's fine with me. We'll repaint that, and it will remain until I have to physically go out there and remove that blue line.
The thin blue line is a morale booster for the Mahwah police, according to their chief, James Battelli. And he adds that bureaucrats in Washington should use common sense and focus on real problems.
But if you look at the infrastructure of bridges and roads in this country, I think there's far more important things that DOT has to be concerned about.
It's worth pointing out that today is Law Enforcement Appreciation Day. Now, while this thin blue line may technically be a violation of federal law, Congressman Josh Gottheimer sent a letter today to the Department of Transportation, and in it he called this decision government bureaucracy that defies common sense. He's asking the agency to reconsider their letter and let this be a town-by-town decision. In Mahwah, New Jersey, I'm Jen Maxfield, News 4 New York.
So what about that? I mean, doesn't it seem like they're okay breaking the law as long as it's something that they're into, something that they appreciate?
Well, it sounds like they are able to discern between, you know, like, well, this law is silly. This law is not taking into consideration the particular circumstances around the nature of us breaking this law or violating this code. I think it's more of a code than
a
law.
Correct. It's a code.
So,
but there's a flag code, too, that we're supposed to stand up when the national anthem is played, too. But you know, who follows that?
Pretty much everybody around me.
That.
Well, I mean, it.
But you don't have to.
But social structures say that you do.
Yeah, in the case of this, in case of highways,
the blue is reserved for.
No, the feds can just withhold giving back money as punishment for not following their dictates, which is how they usually get business done. This is we were talking about the whole transgender issue last year.
Yeah,
and the way they got schools to get in line and actually adopt that policy was to threaten them that they would withhold funding, federal funding, if they didn't get in line.
Well, they tied it to Title IX, I think, which is always tied to if you don't follow this, you don't get funding.
Right.
So it's kind of like a long-standing threat that you always know is on the table. This one, I don't think it's that same. I don't think that any federal agency, the Federal Transportation Administration, I'm not sure if that's what it's actually called, is going to say, you know, hey, Mahwah, New Jersey, you're going to lose all your federal money that you get, or the county, whatever jurisdiction gets federal funds is going to not get federal funds because of this thing that everybody knows is just a hollow thank you to, you know, the good guys, to the cops. So, I mean, it's, they didn't have anything else to put on their, they needed content. So they found out that this is, you know, actually against code. They found some man on the street who's like, I'm not going to park in the middle of the road because it's painted blue. Great kid. Great. Yeah. Okay. That's, I don't know what else to tell them.
But what about the precedent that it sets? If this department gets a line, you know, what's to stop the fire department from wanting to get an orange or a red line? What's to stop the breast cancer awareness from getting a pink line?
I think when firefighters are shot in the street while they're going about their day en masse, when there's a whole content-generated, decentralized, unbrandable, but very branded movement to delegitimize firefighters, then yeah, there's going to be, hey, you know, we got to stick up for the firefighters. They're great. You know, when you have whole other segments of social media dedicated to disproving that same decentralized, self-destructed brand of firefighters are horrible. And then there's, you know, another group that's like, no, firefighters are actually great. And everybody posting on this, you know, horrible brand are lying or they're ignorant or they can't read two clicks into getting the real story.
Yeah, I like that one guy who said
that's when you're going to have firefighters, community members and children running city council wanting to create some hollow, stupid, empty, useless
grandstanding
to quote, you know, the Sutherland, line of paint on the road or something else, you know, a red flag. I don't know. That's when you're going to get people wanting to, when there's a national movement against firefighters en masse, like there is against police, then you're going to get a national movement from little, you know, spicks and spots here and there to support the firefighters. Well, because like, that's the only, you know, 5 years ago, the cops in Fullerton, California murdered that schizophrenic dude, Kelly Thomas. It was murder because they knew, hey, he's kind of, you know, not there all the way and we all know it. So we get to kill him. And that's what they got to do. And a lot of it was because they were police and a lot of it was because of the culture in Southern California where, you know, they don't, they, it's a different culture out there. And, you know, so, I mean, 5 years ago, yeah, it kind of made sense, but the level that it's gotten to for the police, it is understandable that a little child or a city councilor with the feeble heart of a child would respond to the police with like, hey, we got to do something for you.
Correct. Now, this was, I did like the gentleman who brought up the very important point. Is this something they need to be spending any of their time on? There are enough potholes and broken bridges throughout the land that deserve our attention.
Yeah.
And why are they even wasting their time on this? They, of course, a lot of these blue lines are in New Jersey. It seems to be the state where they are really going to town on these on these projects. They did interview president of New Jersey State Policemen's Benevolent Association. New Jersey State Policemen Benevolent Association. That's a Patrick Colligan. Took issue with the FHA's assessment. He says, I hope the FHA has more important things to do on their to-do list, he said. Easy Pass paints lines purple. Towns paint lines green for St. Patrick's Day. I've never heard of that one.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're New England.
The FHA never weighs in on that, but when it comes to painting lines blue to honor law enforcement, it's a federal issue. It really boggles the mind. His key words, I hope the FHA has more important things to do with their to-do list. And I have the same to say about local municipals, roadworks, and states. I hope you guys have more important things to do than worrying about painting blue lines all over the place. There's enough on your table.
Well,
get those potholes filled.
Well, then if you listen to the WKBK on Friday, that's all they were talking about. I guess in this case, there's a spot to reach out to those people who are saying, hey, you know, the feds can leave me alone. And it's like, you know, the feds can leave us alone in a lot of places, not just this. And, you know, we maybe put up with the blue line. It's dumb. It's it's the government. But, you know, you can look past that for a second and be like, you know, there's a lot of times where the government does stuff that the federal government should stay out of what the town's doing, right?
Yeah, but
another example.
Instead of picking and choosing, which is what they're doing.
But that's all you're going to get right now. That's all you're going to get.
Okay, well, I'm across the board. Let's get the federal government out of all of our
business. You need to learn to discern when you're going to specifically pick and choose at somebody. I mean, if you have a kid and they're a dumb kid because they're a kid and they're young, are you going to get on them every single day, all day long, about everything they do wrong? Or are you just going to be like, you know, maybe you should look before you cross the street? And then, you know, later on next week when they keep forgetting to tie their shoes properly, then you deal with that. But, you know, you kind of got to learn to triage what you're going to complain about, what you're going to, you know, make the reason that you're going to make the your neighbors your enemy.
Well, I don't
it's like over what? Over this or over this little thing or over every single thing until they just drown you out because you're going to be all just noise.
Okay, well,
you're
going to
be just libertarian
noise
that everything that you have to say about anything is just it's all terrible. The government exists. I hate it. Well, okay, great. Why bother talking to you?
Just life as you know it on Earth ends.
That's all I got. What do we have next?
We'll see what the city does with this. I know they're pretty good about following state ordinance or state law whenever they try to create their little ordinances and state law dictates otherwise, and they usually, you know, follow in line.
Well, I hope in this case
this is different because it's a federal law and it's not really a law. It's an
ordinance.
It's an order. Highway order.
Okay.
So we'll see how they deal with it in the spring. We'll be talking about it.
That's
some more.
A start.
So speaking of laws, it is that time of season, and there already are some interesting laws on the books. Some of them are more grandstanding, which I don't know if they like to get their name in the paper, if they're really serious about some of these issues. I don't know, or maybe they're touched.
Well, New Hampshire is a small state, so you got to stand out somehow.
These silly laws pop up all over the place. This one in particular, absolute nonsense. Of course, with all of the Russian hacking, Russian hacking debate, which is absolutely ridiculous.
It's not real.
The DNC most likely had an insider who was disgruntled and maybe made some money by distributing a bunch of email. Do you think it was? Who do you think did it?
The DNC hack, I think, was Seth Rich, who was supposedly killed in a, quote, robbery gone wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually...
Is that the one who got shot in the back of the head and they didn't take his money?
And the other one, Podesta, that was just some idiot who thinks computers are magical devices that suddenly decide to be mean and scary. And he clicked on something that said, you're the millionth visitor, you get a free iPad, or, you know, you mm-hmm. win $1 million or something. Just clicked on something you're not supposed to. And I don't think it was a Russian hack. I think it's it's quite understandable to not want to go to war with Russia, even if you are Russia.
And, you know, this is my mind is boggled with... Because here we are, libertarian inside joke. We're so glad that Trump was elected, not because we like Trump, but because all of the anti-war left are going to come back.
They're not going to come back to the libertarians. You guys have nothing for them.
Oh, I don't really care. I mean, but they're going to the anti-left, Code Pink, and all those are going to come back. Who've been gone for 8 years. They just disappeared, even though Obama dropped more drone bombs than Bush and all the others.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I don't see the anti-left coming back. In fact, it's the complete opposite. They want to go to war.
Well, that depends on who...
This is bizarro land.
On where you're measuring it from. Because I don't know who the anti-left is other than impotent libertarians.
No, the left. The progressives.
The left, the progressives, advertising, whatever you want to call them. You know, during Bush administration in the 2000s, yeah, they were out in force and they had the media, you know, covering them and it was so great and they were at my college or I don't know who they were. It was like Black Lamb or something. It was like lesbian Israeli pro-Palestinians against Bush for something. It was very complex talk that I listened to.
And they're all gone.
No, they're just not covered anymore. I'm absolutely certain that there are people still protesting Obama.
Well, I know that we have...
During the years and everything.
We have some peace activists who stand out every Saturday for a half hour to an hour.
They didn't go away. They were out on Central Square every week getting cussed at by, you know, everybody.
All right, I'm talking about the...
The ones that are covered by the mainstream media? Wow, gee, I wonder why they wouldn't be, you know, publicized during Lord Obama's reign.
No, I think that if they existed, they would have been found. Someone would have covered them, and it might not have been. It might have been one of the other outlets, like RT or Al Jazeera or something like that. They would have caught it, because it's.
I don't know. I mean, libertarians get that same. You know, where were you when Bush was? It's like, well, we were complaining the whole time when Bush was around.
Well, this representative, State Minority Leader Jeff Woodburn, Democrat, Whitefield. Has decided that in order to defeat the Russians and to teach them a lesson,
They have God on their side.
We should ban all Russian vodka from New Hampshire. Of course, they did some fact-checking, found out that wouldn't be a very good idea. In fact, this is how tariffs and bans and a lot of this works. It always hurts the people. And on a very minor level does it actually hurt the governments. That if the government of Russia did do anything, it was them and not the people. And this type of ban would not only hurt us, the people, but it would hurt the Russian vodka distributors. So how much would it cost? A proposed ban on Russian vodka at New Hampshire's liquor stores would cost the state close to $2 million. Of course, Woodburn pitched the idea of suspending Russian liquor purchases as one response to reports that Russia interfered with the presidential election. There were no fiscal implications available Monday when Woodburn announced this crazy legislation, but state statistics show Russian booze is a big hit because guess what? They specialize in it. I think they're like...
It's kind of from Russia.
It's kind of from Russia. It's some of the best vodkas come from Russia. The New Hampshire
vodka? That's Russian.
That's
it
Russian.
Means
that's Russian.
Vodka in Russian.
You don't need to translate that. It's the word. The New Hampshire Liquor Commission sold more than $6.4 million in Russian liquor in fiscal year 2016. Profits from the sales reached close to $2 million. The state currently has almost $1 million in Russian liquor inventory at 79 liquor and wine outlets. And as of Tuesday, there are 6,738 cases of Russian liquor stored at the DHL warehouse in Bow. About $115 worth of the product is owned by brokers and suppliers and not by the state, according to E.J. Powers. So the New Hampshire Liquor Commission has had a record sales in 2016, recording gross sales of $678.4 million. Good God almighty.
Woodburn's legislation generated an immediate buzz. That, right there, that line, I've been a Free Stater in Keene long enough to know that was the whole point of this. He got attention. Good for him.
He got a lot of negative attention.
Doesn't matter. No such thing as negative attention. I live in Keene.
Well, he's in, where was he at? Woodburn?
He's a Democrat in Whitefield.
He's in Whitefield. So we'll see if he makes it next year.
I bet you anything, that's all it had to do. He had to say something right now. He can't say something a month from now or, you know, near the end. Right now, the hysteria is what it is, and he has to write it because that is how you are successful. It's not by, you know, being logical and reasonable and trying to persuade people your point of view or anything like that. It's just writing the hysteria.
I agree. And it works, and sometimes it backfires and blows up in your face. Another controversial bill on the books... In the books, on the books, on
proposed
the table.
For the books.
And I think there's a little video here that might, let's watch this video. WMER.
For the restaurant or bar fanatic, downtown Manchester has plenty of options. If they smoke tobacco, they have to do so outside. Now some legislators want to roll back that law.
I think bars should be able to choose if they allow it or not. Restaurants, I'm a little bit more hesitant on just because it's more of an eating environment instead of a drinking environment.
Not for me, and it will make people go other places. So it might change the atmosphere of the bar.
10 years ago, the Indoor Smoking Act made it illegal to smoke inside most New Hampshire businesses. House Bill 279 would modify that to let privately run restaurants, cocktail lounges, and grocery stores to decide whether smoking tobacco is allowed inside. It would even affect forms of transportation like taxis, buses, and boats. Bill sponsor Robert Hall calls it a property rights issue.
Should the state be deciding what people do inside of private establishments? I mean, they are public places, but they are owned by private people, and the owner of the property should decide what goes on.
The American Cancer Society has major concerns, saying this proposal would be a step backwards.
There are no safe levels of exposure to secondhand smoke. And people that work in restaurants and bars, people that are patrons of those establishments, deserve to be protected from the harms of secondhand smoke.
While the law will be debated at the State House, people have their own opinions.
To go back to the days where you go in a restaurant, and if you're a non-smoker and you're exposed to secondhand smoke, it doesn't appeal to me.
It's really up to the owner of the bar. If they want to be, you know, known as a smoking bar, then they can do that. It's It's up to them, in my opinion. It's unclear when the bill could be put to a vote, but it'll now be referred to a subcommittee. In Manchester, Mike Cronin, WMUR News 9.
Okay, I have a question about that video. Did it shrink to show related videos on its own on the last 5 seconds or
they
so?
They embedded other... It's a really good idea.
No,
a lot
that's
of,
horrible.
A lot of YouTubers are doing God. It. They throw a good two or three...
That's disgusting.
And you can click right on them and go
that's
straight to another...
No.
Why is this... Why?
Finish your minute video. God, what are you going to do all day?
They're,
what?
They're just closing.
You're not curing cancer.
I think you're being hard.
Oh, my God. It's just horrible.
It could have been, right, it could have been advertisements for toilet paper. At least
it will be soon.
At least it was other videos.
That's ridiculous.
So I was listening to the radio the other day, and come to find out, this is not something I was aware of, like the bag ban, which was really big here in Keene. It turns out that the smoking ban was a Keene thing. They tried to do exactly what they always try to do and create an ordinance that would affect smoking in private establishments. And it didn't fly because it would not jive with personal private property rights. So then they had to...
they went to the state?
Well, I don't know. And actually, I don't know who... They said 10 years. We were definitely not here 10 years ago. But yeah, it went to the state and became state law. And then they got
really
what they
interesting
wanted.
Because when I moved here 7.5 years ago, in Keene, it was known as like, oh, don't go to this restaurant. They supported the smoking ban. And I was like, really? I totally don't care.
Well,
I'm not a smoker. I'm not in favor of smoking.
Well, maybe WMER got it wrong and it's not as long ago as 10 years.
Well, it could have been just 7 years ago. It was a couple years ago that it happened. But,
well, one of the comments that was made, right. One of the comments that was made from one of the locals was,
locals in Keene or
some of the most, one of the most outspoken, against the ban is now happy that the ban took place because their restaurant or bar or whatever establishment that wasn't given over on the air,
mm-hmm.
but they're happy that it came down and took place because it's made the establishment a richer environment.
Yeah.
And I have to admit, and I've smoked in the past and I vape. I'm not a huge fan of getting into cars or hotel rooms or restaurants or anywhere where someone has been just chain smoking. It's kind of obnoxious.
So personally, you would choose a smoke free area, business, whatever.
If it was a restaurant, now if I was going to a bar who specialized in just serving alcohol and maybe chicken wings, then I might not care.
Yeah.
But a restaurant, yeah, I would probably go to somewhere else. But that's me, and I, you know, I can make that decision, and the owner of that restaurant should be able to make that decision and possibly lose my business because I don't want to shop with him. And that's what it really boils down to. This is just one more law that basically violates our individual property rights. It needs to be revoked. This ban needs to be revoked. And let the free market decide who allows cigarette smoking in their establishment. Plain and simple.
And who has to work around cigarette smoke all day.
You don't have to you don't have to work there.
You don't have to get a job either. You can just get on welfare. But I think after 10 years of this ban being in place and insurance premiums reflecting that and health insurance premiums offered to employees reflecting that if they, you know, go that route, it's not going to change anything. That's after 10 years, the norm has been set, I think, unless, you know, you want to open a business that provides smoking.
Yeah, like maybe a smoking shop.
Well,
maybe
a hookah bar, a vape shop, or, you know, something else that's not really culturally in tune with New England, but cultures die, so whatever. Yeah, pretty much. I don't think it would change anything. I don't think insurance companies or insurance underwriters would be like, oh, now you want to allow smoking. Yes, great idea. Sure, let me write up that renewal declaration for you.
Yeah, so you absolutely agree that if it was a smoking restaurant, providing insurance for your workers, if people even do that anymore.
Well,
that we, you're saying that
health
you're saying,
insurance.
You're saying the rates would go up
if you're even covered, if they even provide that coverage. Because everywhere I've ever been, you don't smoke in a restaurant. I mean, when I was like a little kid, you know, I went to like a Shakey's Pizza that had a smoking section, and because I was with people who didn't care, I was, you know, in the smoking section. Didn't look all that
danger zone.
Didn't look all that different from the non-smoking section because we were right next to them. We weren't separated by anything.
Well, no. So once again, insurance companies, part of the
insurance will save us all. No, that's not what I'm saying.
Well, no, just let them do their thing. If they're gonna,
Them run us. Yes. Okay. That's the libertarian way.
Let the owner
this
of the restaurant
company.
Let the owners of the restaurants deal with the higher insurance rates for their for his or her employees because. They're around cigarette smoke,
or even 24/7. Even coverage as a renter of the property that houses the business. You know, smoke damage is a real thing. You smell it.
Yeah, if
you
I
can
was,
see
if
it.
I rented out part of this house, or
as a fire I would fire insurance, it's a hazard.
Yep, yep.
So you know, it's not really going to change anything because this industry that doesn't really, you know, it's not a scam. It's just kind of that it infests every. Productive industry and makes money off of it is, you know, pretty much running the show.
Hmm. Well, I'd say that
in addition to the norms that say, you know, smoking is horrible and all that,
government intervention and their wanting to regulate everything is also having a big.
And I really hope it goes away, the issue, whether it gets the ban gets repealed or the ban gets doubled down or whatever. The issue just goes away so that I never have to see a video of a news package where it's like a close-up of somebody taking a drag off a cigarette, because that those close-ups that they showed in that package were so disgusting. Just so... Ugh. Just... Ugh. Okay. What else do we have? Do we
that
have...
That is
no.
So lame.
Nah, that wasn't the right one. So one more bill on the table. This is one that I am in favor of. I hope that it outlasts all the meetings and the back and forth. There we go. This bill, HB 491-local, this bill requires a school board to disclose each major item and its source in the default budget at a public hearing. Now, I don't know if you've ever looked at our budgets, they always give us two options. They give us the proposed budget, which is always more than last year. This year, it is $1 million more than last year's budget. And then you've got the default budget, and I haven't seen this year's default budget, but usually that one is about $1 million more than the proposed budget.
So right now, the default budget is... The default proposed budget is just a number. We don't know where any of that money is supposed to go or be towards or anything. And this would clarify, like, no, you have to present it as if it were a real budget.
You have to explain the line items of the default budget, which they don't ever do. They'll sometimes go in and explain the proposed budget, like this money is going here, this money is going here. But the default budget is like, well, where is all that money going? Because let me see if it says it in here. All right, I'm going to read the entire amendment. This is being added to the existing bill. Now, as far as warrant or SB2 rules, that is already included, that you have to discuss the
default
budget. But this is the school section. This is 197:5, which just handles school issues. So here's what they're adding to the bill. In the case of a default budget, regardless of whether the school district is controlled by the Municipal Budget Act or has adopted the official ballot referendum form of meeting, the school board shall disclose at a school district public hearing the source of each major item to be included in the default budget. If items were in separate warrant articles in the previous budget, they shall be referenced in the title of the specific warrant article. If an item was a capital item, it shall be identified as such. The board shall allow a motion to remove any item that is non-recurring. And I don't have the exact wording, but the default budget is supposed to include last year's budget plus any debt service and reoccurring salaries.
Contracts.
Exact. Thank you. So in the case of, so it shouldn't be that much bigger than last year's budget.
So right now you can find out what the default budget goes to and all the line item stuff by looking at last year's budget.
Well, what the problem is I believe that they're adding, they are adding items and
into the default.
They're adding items that aren't reoccurring and not debt service. But I don't want to go too far on this. There's actually, there is an individual in Brentwood, Timberlane Regional School Board member Donna Green, she's fighting the exact same battle, and I don't know if she has anything to do with this bill, but well, she wants to know exactly what is in the default budget, and they're not telling her. So she's actually taken the Timberlane Regional School District court.
The complaint seeks to prohibit the school board from presenting the proposed spending plan to voters until she herself has been given a more detailed line item default budget for review.
Mm-hmm.
Voters decide budgets at the polls. If they vote down, then you get the default. Default budget under state law is supposed to be the same budget authorized the previous year with certain adjustments for debt service, contracts, and other obligations recurring. One-time expenses removed.
So the $100,000 soccer field that was on last year's budget can't be added to
on the default because it's gone. It's not recurring. You're correct. Not going to need to create a new soccer field every year.
But the teacher's salary, which is going up every year, that would be included. Any kind of debt service.
Because you still have to pay the teacher. That's a recurring.
Well, there's a contract.
Yeah.
And so that would be something that would increase the default budget.
Okay. She argues that the default budget should be lower if it's consistent with state law because of a, quote, considerable number of one-time expenditures and capital improvements that were in the last budget that are now in the default budget that should be removed. The defendants ensure that they are able to, by artificially inflating the default budget to an amount higher than the proposed operating budget, the defendants, the school board, or the members, ensure that they get approval from the voters of continually increasing school operating budgets. Basically, they are always having a higher default budget, so they always get a higher budget.
And if you're us, the voters, it always seems it's the scam of scams.
Why bother showing up? Why bother voting?
Exactly. Both options are out of control. And it, so why even show up? I mean, if I don't, it's not going to help me at all because, you know, we're in this downward spiral.
And
her
complaint isn't really in the fact that it goes up every year, which is your complaint all the time. And it's my complaint all the time. Her complaint is they're not providing a line item specific detailed budget to review the default budget to see, you know, okay, this shouldn't be in there. This is not recurring. This doesn't need to be in there. It's about denying access to basic information, and she's on the school board. So why would they not give another member of the school board that information?
Maybe it's sketchy. Maybe they are tacking on $100,000 soccer fields when they shouldn't be.
Well, according to them, we don't negotiate with obstructionists. We are focused on running a great school district, not helping someone with frivolous lawsuits for a political resume.
All right. So, what do you think about this? We were talking about the White.
I think it's
Whiteburn.
Pretty good.
Was he grandstanding? Of course he was. What do you think about this individual?
She could
Donna.
Be, except that the article's really boring and isn't like all that interesting. So I kind of think it's genuine, and it strikes something that's real. Like the article about the, you know, Russian and vodka, I'm gonna get them. It's like actually kind of racist, I guess, because it's like, oh, that's all you get. Like borscht is okay. I don't know, whatever. But this one, it's like, well, if they don't have anything to hide, and you know, if it's a budget and money is important, if you gave me the same, you know, you gave me the rent number and that was it, which goes up and down every month. And I was like,
a nice database explaining where everything is going.
Yeah. And if I was like, well, why is it this much? And you're like, because stuff went up. Well,
I said so.
Was it the electricity? Don't worry about it. It's yeah. like, well, you know, and this is kind of that on a much bigger scale, because it is about children being brainwashed, indoctrinated, educated, raised, whatever.
For a whole lot of money.
For a whole lot of time, and being raised by these teachers, and, you know, it that type of dishonesty mm-hmm. and not being truthful and open and transparent, that does trickle down into, you know, even the children of like, well, and, you know, they don't know about school budgets and anything like that, but it has a reverberating effect. So if they really cared about children, they would give her the default budget.
And not your teachers' union and your administrators' union, and you actually do care about the children, which I don't get. I don't get that feeling when I listen to these people talk. Definitely keep your eyes on this one. I might actually even go talk on this one, speak on this particular bill.
I think that'd be great. I think that would make a lot of sense for you to do that. It'd break my heart because you'd be driving off without me.
I'll carpool. I will not drive.
I don't want to go because I know who you carpool with.
In fact, I'll put blindfold on, and so I won't be able to see the beautiful scenery of snowless
good. What do we have next?
So, yeah, keep your eyes on that. Speaking of school issues,
you know which
the
one
budget,
it is?
The budget that we spoke about, our budget, Keene, we were talking about that last week and probably the week before that. It looks like it actually went down $100,000. So instead of a 1.8% increase, it will be a 1.68% increase. That budget will be $66,150,293, and that will be going to the deliberative session on February 11th. Definitely hope to get people out there if you believe that this is out of control. It's unwieldy. It's unsustainable. It's wrong. $20,000 per student. It shouldn't cost that. It should not cost that. Not in the age.
So are you still collecting Warren articles?
I'm collecting Warren articles. That's not going to be a big deal.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Watching wanted to sign them, could they still contact you, or is that cut off?
Yeah, I've got the two Warren articles. They're on the web. They're on the Facebook page, so you can read them. If you would like to, I need a couple more signatures.
All right. And they're on citizenkane.org? Somewhere.
Actually, I don't think they are. But they are on the Facebook. They're on the Facebook page.
If somebody were to contact you about signing them,
Email address is show, at citizenkane.org. That's Kane, like raising Kane. Definitely do need just a couple more signatures. Listening to the radio, I caught this, and then I listened to it again and caught it twice, and I just totally slipped my mind. Shauna actually listened to it, and she was like, "You've got to clip that," and that is exactly what I did, because it is hilarious.
That is the same sweater. I can't believe. Do not play this clip. I am very upset. Because nobody is taught cursive, and nobody is taught Latin to go back to the old things.
Guys, just go home and learn cursive. It's not that hard. Actually, I probably forgot a couple of the letters. And so on the radio, what did I hear?
How about if the school board, instead of, I don't even know if they're really thinking about this at all, but my gosh, look at all the problems they got. What are they talking about this stuff for? Why don't they, you know, start teaching kids how to, like, add numbers and spell words.
Write cursive.
write cursive and maybe learn some grammar rules or maybe some history.
Rules.
That might be maybe a better use of their time.
Yeah.
You think?
Well, I don't disagree.
So there you go. You and Fred Parcells have a lot in common, Ms. Shauna.
We do. We're best friends.
By the way, what they were talking about was the transgender policy. Fred picked it up at, I don't know if he got it online at Free Keen, or he actually read it as a letter to the editor, because I submitted it as a letter to the editor. But to get more hits, to get it out there.
Don't look at me.
I put it
you
on
heard
the,
what
I,
I've said
I put it on the
a million
Free Keen
times
site.
About that.
And I was really glad that they picked it up. Fred wanted to, you know, create a interesting conversation. and they were talking about it. He was reading it line for line, and it's like, all right, yeah, this is good, it's good, it's good. And then John McGonagall was like, well, hold on now. This doesn't make sense. This doesn't sound right. This doesn't fit well. Where did you get this? And Fred was like, oh, you know, I got it from Free King, believe it or not. And then everyone was like, oh, well, that makes sense. And then they stopped talking about it.
It makes sense.
It was like they said it was fake news. Fake news. We can't get any. It doesn't matter. Let me say. All right. Look.
I can see Fred Parcells and Bill McGonagall, and
is it Bill or John?
Whatever. Whoever. I could see them hearing, I got this from Free Keen. One, two. It sounds like something I never heard of. Adds up to, oh, let's talk about something else because this is ridiculous. That sounds pretty reasonable.
Well, there are multiple bloggers at Free Keen.
Yep.
We all have our own opinions. We all do our own thing.
You all are under the Free Keen brand, yes.
My name is clearly written underneath the title of the blog. Mm-hmm. And how often have I gone crazy town? I thought it was a very moderate LTE. You know, I was trying to create an argument. I was trying to have a conversation
with
the folks.
The point of what they were saying, okay, you're not going to solve the Free Keen brand. You're not going to save it. And I don't think you should. But what the questions that they had were not answered. Wanted to know, you know, what the policy is, where it came from. They wanted to know, you know, it's on the December 13th, 2016 school board meeting. On YouTube, they have the Keene School District, or I guess SAU 29, now has a channel where you can watch at the 1 hour, 9 minute mark, they move into talking about the transgender policy. It's real. It really is a thing. If you go on, I think it's SAU 29, it's, you know, just Google the Keene School Board, and somewhere in there, it's linked on citizenkeene.org, the post entitled "To Make It Easier for Everyone." It's the video of them talking about it. It's the policy itself as a first read. So there's highlights, there's strike throughs, there's, you know, different text font colors and all that.
Yeah, it was the first
reading. And there's also the meeting agenda for that meeting where you see they are going to talk about it. It's item number six. So that is where you can find it.
Yeah, I'm just going to get real here on the show from here on out.
I need the It's Real drop. I don't have that one.
Well, you don't need one because I just provided it.
You know what? So, but, you know, and I'm really glad to the old it's not a motto, the saying, ask and thou shalt receive. You know, I made a scuffle about the fact that the district wasn't loading videos and making them available to the community.
Cursive and verb conjugation charts are next.
I know. So keep talking about that Latin. We might
Jenny's first year Latin, they, real easy, they tremendous.
They might be teaching it in Keene School District at our expense. Thank you, Shauna.
Hey,
that's another
halfway there.
That's another $1 million halfway a year there. Right there to teach cursive. Something near and dear to my heart, and I'm glad it went in the direction that it did. Committee hears proposal for public art policy in Keene. This is their second attempt to do something. Their first attempt, they came through and they actually wanted money. And I'm glad that the counselors who heard this were like, yeah, no, sorry, whoa, stop. Put the brakes on. This is a great idea. Creating an art committee who will work with the downtown and the developers and the city to bring art projects, you know, whether it be paintings, murals, sculpture, bringing that to town is a great thing, but you need to do this on a voluntary basis. This is what it's all about. This is what it's about being part of a community. Some people, I'm going to break some hearts, some people don't give a flip about art, and they would rather their taxpayers' money didn't go to pay for it. Some people absolutely love it.
Government-supported art projects are the most horrendous.
Not to mention, yeah, exactly. Especially when they're going off and they're, everything you see is just nonsense abstract,
modern
abstract. It's whatever is of the time. And I would rather see more academic aesthetic works, which is what classic. I like. Classic stuff, yeah. But, you know, I don't call the shots. Some modern art teacher, art professor, who's believes they know best, are usually the ones that get to make these decisions at our expense.
So it's a proposal to consider making an official arts policy, which sounded like connecting artists, local artists, to get involved with art projects that the city has going on.
Correct.
Sounds kind of redundant, but if it's not happening right now, and right now the way that art is commissioned is by, like, hey, I know a guy and I'm connected in the government, you know.
Yeah.
I guess
so
not.
This was brought forward by Taryn Fisher. She's over at Antioch, and she got a bunch of names. I went and checked these Facebook pages out. I think there's Monadnock Arts. There's two of them, and they're in Keene. Monadnock Arts?
Arts Alive.
Arts Alive is one, and there's a Monadnock one. And I didn't see a whole lot of activity on those sites, so maybe I'm in the wrong place, because I want to maybe get with them and discuss what was going on in my hometown, Gainesville, Florida. In Gainesville on 34th Street, there's a overpass. It's on a hill, and there's a sound barrier, and it's partitioned into segments, and each segment has like a month time limit where you can go out there and you can tag it.
Okay, some of this is not tagging though. Some of this actually does count.
Some of it is straight up
beautiful
art.
Some of it's
art.
Dumb. Some of it's ugly.
It's definitely very urban.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can get it out of your. If you're worried about knuckleheads going down to the new South Bridge or North Bridge, those ugly, ugly constructions, and tagging. Maybe this will create an outlet for youngins.
Or something like this.
To get it out of their system.
I mean, I think the lesson to be learned from Gainesville urban art is that it doesn't signal the end of the world, it seems. It looks nice. Even the stuff that to me looks hideous, It is very colorful. And
you know what? If it bothers you, don't worry, because it won't be there in a month.
Well, it won't be there in a month. And I mean, it's, you know, beautiful things are nice. It, expresses the truth of God's creation and all that. So hard for me to complain.
No, I'm going.
Uh-oh, he shut down.
No, I'm actually, the internet shut down. It's not going where it's supposed to. So those were, that was a project that I always saw. Every time I was in Gainesville, I saw those. And sometimes you would just stop your car and you would check it out. There are some other projects that have gone. Have come into existence since then, and definitely these are more permanent art ventures. They're going up and they're staying up. And some of them, this is an electrical box.
Okay, that looks nice.
That is beautiful.
Okay.
Let's see if I can find. That's silly, but yeah, some of them are buildings that I remember, that were vacant my whole life, and now there's these beautiful murals on them.
Are people now in those buildings renting them, or
this is a parking garage right here?
And it is now a parking garage.
It was a parking garage that was never there my whole life.
Okay.
This parking garage was always there.
Is there now a business? Are there less, you know, bums throwing trash into the street right in front of these?
Yeah, there's a. I think it's this one. It is an actual. It's a nightclub.
Well, nightclub's gonna want. Something cool looking.
Well, it had always been just plain old red brick. Mm-hmm. And I guess I can't find it.
All right.
But anyways, definitely check. I'll put this on the Facebook page and on the website in the show notes. GNVUrbanArt.com. Gainesville Urban Art. Okay. You can Google Gainesville Urban Art.
Or you can just look at the link that you're going to provide in about 20 minutes. So.
Or go to the link and look at the... Exactly. So what did the city manager have to say about this? Let's see what the city manager had to say about this.
Believe it or not,
interim.
I think the discussion of public art is timely. I have raised the same issue in a number of venues. I've been reaching out to some of the local arts and associations on this to begin some of the conversation as well. You know, I'd like to see, you know, artists recognize that there are public places that make a lot of sense to be able to display art. There should be more arts and culture within the Central Business District, for example, than perhaps there is today. I'd love to see Banksy come in and do a wall. If you don't know who Banksy is,
I went to Brattleboro and I saw this documentary.
Yeah,
it was at the Latches.
Yeah, city manager, Banksy is not coming to Keene. Banksy is anti-establishment. If he did come, he would not ask your permission to do so, and he would put something he would put something up that you wouldn't like. He's not coming to Keene.
He's a sellout. He can't. Keene can't afford him.
Keene cannot afford Banksy, but he does. He does do really good.
It's really deep.
Stop it! You're horrible.
To see sculptures, I'd love to see sculpture gardens. I'd love to see a lot of the arts that are plays and things like that that we don't see perhaps as much as we would like to in Keene. So I think the conversation is one that does need to take place and begin cultivating that. I don't know what form it would take. Obviously, it would take a lot of discussion. As to what that would mean and you know, what role the city would have and you know, whether we're just make property available, whether it's an ordinance thing, whatever the case may be. I would think we would want to engage as many interested parties as possible, but I think it's time for the city to actually be connecting with the Thorn, connecting with other groups and organization and Arts Alive and begin pushing this as much as we can.
I don't believe any of this.
You don't believe any of that?
No, I don't think the city has a place promoting art.
I think there would be too many people.
The way that the city or government can promote art is not have taxes so high so that people can afford to be artists and can afford to commission other artists that they have faith in being, you know, reflecting truth and beauty and the, you know,
proof
of
now,
God.
Right now, city ordinance will not allow you to put a mural on the side of your brick building. That's because it's a sign. So you would have, unless you got permission. The city policy, this committee, commission, whatever, would this you would have to go through these guys. So you would still have to get permission, probably. But yeah, are there any facilities out there that can just be like the 34th Street in Gainesville, where you can just go out there and basically be civil and give up your space in a month and let someone basically paint over your beautiful work? Who knows? I like this. I think it's a really, really neat idea. I think this is a way that Keene can get out of the way of people, you know, living their lives and expressing themselves. And I'm not a 2D guy. I'm a sculptor, but not big time sculptor, like little sculptors, like this guy behind Shauna. I don't know. I like it. We got to go though.
We do.
We'll talk about this because this was just a communication. It'll be coming back. My two cents. Do this. Volunteer basis only. Do not spend money on this. Do not let government touch this project. They ruin everything.
That's exactly what you're going to get.
Shauna, thanks so much for being on. Thanks for putting up with me and giving me all the feedback.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, you give me a lot. Yeah, exactly. Guys, you've been watching Citizen Kane. Go check out that website, citizenkane.org. Also, hey, do me a favor, like the Facebook page. I put a lot of articles up during the week. A lot of them we end up talking about. So if you want to discuss them beforehand, give me ideas, feedback. You know, I'll have more to talk about when the show is live. Also, that number down below, 267-521-2771. Call that anytime during the week and leave a message if you would like, or shoot me an email. That address is show@citizenkane.org. Thanks so much for watching. We will see you again next week at the same time. Good night.
And I love Keene the way it is, but I don't like the ideas that some people have about what Keene could become.
And probably in the same shirt. Ugh.
You need
can't believe you played that clip. I'm so upset.
You need to change that sweat. I'm going to play that clip again.
No.
I'm going to play that clip again.
I look exactly the same.
Wait.
You don't even know that it's a clip from a couple weeks ago. It could be a clip from 20 minutes ago, for all you know.
Wow. And, no, and it might have been.
And you're in the same jacket. The jacket.
Yeah, but it's a jacket. Yeah.
Because nobody is taught cursive and nobody's taught Latin to go back to the old things.
Talking with her hands. And I'm freezing. So now, yeah, same glasses? Are they same glasses too?
I only have these glasses.
Unbelievable.
In public.
Now everyone's going to think you're a scuzzy. She's not a scuzzy. She washes clothes like twice a week.
I am not going to get mistaken for a scuzzy. Thank you very much.
No, everyone knows that you're clean and well spoken, and you know what's going on.
So angry and mean.
You're so angry and mean. Guys, just go home and learn cursive. It's not that hard. Actually, I probably
look so pissed.
How about if the school board instead of I don't even know if they're really thinking about this at all, but my gosh, look at all the problems they got. What are they talking about this stuff for? Why don't they, you know, start teaching kids how to like add numbers and spell words,
write cursive,
write cursive, and maybe learn some grammar rules or maybe some history.
Did you hear the examples he gave? Add numbers and write words. That's how bad it's gotten that Bill is like, forget cursive in Latin. Let's just teach him basic arithmetic.
Yeah, but
let's teach him basic grammar.
A couple weeks ago, I was telling you about the, I think it's the trivium method of classical learning, where the first early years you're taught rote facts and grammar and rules and handwriting. And I don't think all of the computers that are focused on clicking everywhere and mouse commands are going to work as much for hand-eye coordination as playing like Contra.
Yeah, what about, yeah, well, no, I mean, look at the video games these kids are playing.
Look at the video games you're playing. They're all like just your thumb or your forefinger.
And
and that's not the same as even just learning to type. You know, the home keys and all that is hand-eye coordination that they're not learning because everything is mouse, is technology.
Yeah, but everything that is simplified allows for more
If you actually teach that to the children, and I don't think they are. I don't think they're teaching them to,
I don't think they're being taught anything, but they weren't teaching me anything when I was in school.
Well, that's, you know, that's their fault.
And it was half the cost. It was half the cost.
Yeah.
And we weren't learning jack.
I was taught handwriting.
I went to typing school, and that's something, by the way, I chose. I wanted to learn to type.
Yeah.
And I chose that class, and I still use it. I don't know if you've ever watched my daughter type. She did not go to any classes. She just learned. She just picked it up.
The home keys? Or does she?
She can type faster than me. And when she types, she looks like an eagle standing on my keyboard. Like Igor. Eagle. You know, with all hands all, you know, it's kind of obnoxious looking. But she can type faster than
me. But it's not the official.
She can also text fast. Well, you can text pretty fast too. But I'm not a texter. My thumbs are too fat. But yeah, she's a super texter and she's a super duper typer. And she didn't learn any of that. She picked it up.
Yeah.
Because it was something that she found necessary. It was something that she wanted to do. She does it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And she just picked it up. And before you know it, she's going to town. Now, if she had learned proper technique and she wanted to increase her speed, I mean, she might have crutched herself where she will never be able to get any faster because she's doing it wrong. She's using the same finger too many times.
Well,
when she needs to be using all of her hand.
I know 10 years ago, well, 8 years ago, when I was taking job interview tests, you know, they're set to a certain standard. And, you know, I don't know what would happen if you took a typing test and you were, you know, not proper on the 10 key or whatever. But I don't know. I mean, my somebody I knew from college who, you know, right now is a doctor in the French World War One, blah, 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 advertising. His typing was just these two fingers, just bam, 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 bam. And, you know, he didn't get almost kicked out of school. I did, and I know how to type. So, you know, what good do it do?
What good do it do? Well, I know that I remember filling out applications, and there would be like an option. There would be your words per minute option. I don't see that anymore. You have to go find it. You got to hunt it down and find it.
You got to apply for jobs like I have.
No, not me. I don't. It's not needed in my life. Not the things that I do.
Yeah, the next job I get is not going to be a typing job. It's going to be.
You come work for me. You do a lot of single button pushing and mouse scrolling. You need good hand eye coordination, and you need to be able to scroll through many many book listings. You would love it.
That I can do. I actually can do that. What I really dislike is one or the other. That's like half and half. Because what I do right now at work is half of, like, 80% of it is all just clicking over to the stupid mouse and clicking, 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 and double click and clicking again to verify. And then some of it is actual typing, but I'm typing just like one finger at a time here, or like one word here. It's so just disheartening. When it could be command line keying, and it's not.
It's amazing. It's just the side of a business or I don't know what that building is. I don't recognize where it's at. Yeah, it's very abstract. It's very
Dolly. Yeah.
Kind of a.
See, if there was somebody that was doing like
Latin American Dolly.
Yeah. If there was somebody doing like a.
Wait. I'm sorry. Dolly was Latin American, wasn't he?
I don't know.
Mexican.
Was he not Mexican.
No. I'm confused.
He was probably one of those. Well, the difference between Mexican and Spaniards is amazing. And Mexican and other South American, Central Americans. You call them Mexican, and woo, man,
Spain.
Do they get mad.
Spain.
Yeah. Don't call a Spaniard a Mexican.
I didn't. Yeah, I'm sorry, but when you look at some of his art, it's a lot of like desert scenes.
Yeah.
Very orange, dry desert scenes. And I guess they do have those in Spain, but they do look like Mexico. Or Texas.
From what we're familiar
or
with,
Texas.
Yeah. From what we're familiar with, yeah.
But that was a fun show.
Yeah, it's all right.
Where's my chat room at?
Nobody wants to talk to you.
Everyone watches this afterwards. This guys is so fun.
That's good. It's on Cheshire TV, so you know.
You
got to hone in on what audience are you performing for?
Yeah, you're right.
You don't want to be like right now. Uppity libertarians are watching, but
no,
2 days
even, not
later,
even that. Not even that.
Well, what I'm trying to say is. You know, you don't want to be like, oh, right now, this group of people is watching. This group is watching. Yeah, that's that right. That agrees. But 2 days later, some completely different population is watching.
Yeah. Well,
at least I found a problem with that. At least when I was on other shows.
Yeah, and you know what?
Whatever.
Okay,
it's just for these people, and I don't care what they think because, you know, I'm just as much a loser as they are, so whatever. Hmm.
Yeah, I don't get into chat rooms or even monitor them. I mean, I have, and it's like, I don't get this.
I think the only...
It depends on the person.
The last time I got into a chat room for a long time was when you were on Free Talk Live, and I'm like, I don't really want to say anything because I don't want to be like, oh, that's my boyfriend.
So we got a caller.
Hi.
And I'm like, I don't really want to say anything because I don't want to be like, oh, that's my boyfriend.
Hello?
Hey, you're on Citizen Kane. Who are we talking to?
Joe,
how you doing, man? What's
hey,
going
Joe.
On?
I can't. The chat doesn't work, at least for me. I don't know why.
On the YouTube? Where were you?
I'm on YouTube.
Huh.
I'm on YouTube, and we watched the whole show, Janet and me, and.
I know you've been able to chat before, and it's never been a big deal.
Does it just show up as a comment that you can't add?
I can't write a comment. There's a box, but when I click it, it doesn't take it. And maybe it's my machine. I don't know.
I did a little test. I did a test check myself. And Shauna's saying something right now. Can you see the?
I see it.
Huh?
Yeah, I see check and Jill-O. I see that.
Okay. What is Jill-O?
That's you know.
Well, that's too bad. I of course you're the only other. It looks like you were the only other guy watching. Yeah, I'm getting better hits on
the.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Janet says Dolly's Spanish.
Yes, he's from from Spain. But it's very if you look at his work, is very very orange.
It evokes and I know familiarity with Mexican.
And there's that there's that something. Airport where they have the famous scene. Hold on, let me see. I think that's in Mexico. Hold on, let me look that up. Which confused me.
It's a Mexican airport or international airport?
I'm pretty sure it's at an airport.
Hmm.
Yeah, and Janet may go to that art meeting too. We were considering it. She's interested in that stuff.
Have they scheduled that? Because I know they already had the meeting. But they're probably going to have.
I think it's Thursday night. Isn't it Thursday night, Janet? Wasn't it the 19th? It was in the article in the paper. It's we got it around here someplace.
Oh, I'm gonna bring that article up. Yeah. Because I thought they already had the meeting.
City Council Thursday the 19th at 7 p.m.
Yep, that's my birthday, so they'll be having another meeting.
Yeah, we're busy that day.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
Does it say where it is?
City Council, so it would be...
Same place as always. City Hall.
Okay.
Maybe we'll see you there. I'll go out there on my birthday and celebrate listening to Knuckleheads talk about...
I may not go. Janet's probably going to go.
Cool. Yeah, I think it's a great idea. Did you see those pictures, 34th Street in Gainesville, the tagging?
Yeah, I like that. I also think it's the future. You know, I think when we learn to share better and stuff, people are going to have more free time. You know, this necessities can be taken care of by robots. We're all going to have more free time.
I hope.
You're going to need people to do art. Yeah. You know, you people to do art, you know, be creative in all sorts of different ways. That should be the future.
Well, my big concern is going to be a lot of people who are hesitant to allow that work. There's probably going to create a committee, and you're going to have to prove that you're an artist for one thing, and they're going to pick and choose their favorites. Because these people don't want to change anything. Did you watch the meeting on the clear cutting the trees at the airport? Man, these people are crazy, man. They don't want any change. They don't want anything to change ever. They just want it the same old Keen, and never allow anyone to come in with new ideas.
Well, I think that people suspiciously, I don't know if you said it or somebody said it. I don't know who said it, but I got the feeling that, or maybe it was on the radio, on the talk show or something.
Mm-hmm.
But he was suggesting that, why are they cutting the trees? Oh, because they want to make room for bigger planes. But they're not telling anybody, because if they tell people it's going to be bigger planes, well, the neighbors are going to get all upset.
Yeah, make it,
so they want to keep that secret as long as possible.
Yeah, making more noise. And they also, one of the gentlemen brought this up, they're going to have nighttime landings. From helicopters and planes, and so that's just gonna make it even worse.
Well, then maybe what they need to do is to fight them on the tree cutting and all that, and say no, because they know what the next step is. They know the next step is to have night landings and bigger planes and all that. And if they don't want it, they're the ones that live there. They're the ones that have a stake in it.
Hey, right now they can land Air Force One with no problem.
Yeah, and Keen's gonna roll out literally any red carpet.
No, I'm serious. But the trees are not a issue.
Until Friday.
Until Friday? It is not preventing jets from landing. So I don't know what this is all about. It's interesting. I don't like cutting trees down, but sometimes they can be, you know, they can be in the way.
Yeah. Okay, they let me put emojis up on here, but so I can do that, but I still don't know how to type. No, I don't know how to.
Maybe you just need to refresh your browser. Close your browser out and go back to it.
No, I don't know how I'll get back anyway.
Well, we'll
from bad to worse.
We'll try again next week.
Yep. Okay.
All right. So, hey, Joe, nice talking to you, man.
You too. Bye-bye. Right.
Bye.
Take care. All right. With that, let's get out of here. Shauna?
No art. No art.
Yes, art.
No art.
Yes, art.
No art.
Take care, guys. Good evening. Goodbye.
No art.